little people, big people, all people. This is another episode of Buffed Up Sports, the only podcast that talks Detroit sports, the WNBA, and boxing. So thank you for clicking on this episode. But first, a few ground rules. If you want to go on the Buffed Up Sports website, go to buffedupsports.com. There you will find the social media platforms that I'm on, and you will find the platforms that Buffed Up Sports is on, such as the podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Or if you like the video aspect, you can check out the YouTube channel as well. So go to buffedupsports.com for those things. As well as if you want to send, you know, a little cha-ching, it's ways that you can help me out and financially support the show. So go to buffedupsports.com for that. Again, thank you for clicking on this episode. Please subscribe. So subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Apple, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on wherever you listen to the podcast on. Please subscribe. With that being said, again, thanks, y'all. Hope you enjoy this one. Let's get on with the show. What's up, everybody? Glad y'all all tuning in to listen to this episode of Buffed Up Sports. It's an up and down episode, if you will. We talking Red Wings, Tigers, Lions, Pistons, WNBA boxing. Got some guests on, so stay tuned for that. I'm going to start it off, though. And as much as I want to have a lot of energy right now, I simply don't, because of my feelings is hurt, man. The Red Wings. The Red Wings season literally gave me 2022 Detroit Lions vibes, right? I mean, the aspect of the Lions in the 2022 season. The last game of the season, they're going into it still in the playoff picture. They pull off the exciting victory, but due to math and all the other things of the world I don't like, the Lions didn't make the playoffs. The Red Wings went through the exact same thing this year. The Lions had their chances to make the playoffs, but it wasn't enough. The Red Wings had their chance to make the playoffs, wasn't enough. But the Red Wings also went to the last game of the season, still technically in it, to pull off an exciting victory, still don't get the job done. I mean, that had to be the saddest game winner of the season by Patrick Kane, getting the game-winning goal in the shootout against the Canadiens, but nobody celebrated. And that's why I said it was the saddest game winner in pro sports history you'll ever see. To see a game winner, exciting fashion, playoff implications on the line going into this game, just for nobody to celebrate when it actually is a victory. And that hurts. That hurts because we were in it, but like I said, we kind of did it to ourselves. We had our chances. We didn't capitalize. Speaking of Patrick Kane, though, I'm not the GM of the Red Wings. I'm also new to watching the Red Wings. But I knew Patrick Kane before he joined the Red Wings, and I definitely know a little something about him now. I want Patrick Kane back on the team next year. We gave him a chance when everybody else counted him out. The least he could do is give us a chance by hearing our offer first before he listened to any other team, because yes, he is up for free agency. But I want Patrick Kane back on the Red Wings. He made the season very exciting to watch, and I would be very hurt if he's gone. Next thing, I want to talk about the Detroit Tigers real quick. I was hoping the Tiger season wouldn't be a roller coaster, but so far it's definitely going in that direction. I don't like the Tigers right now because let's say the pitchers have a good outing. They give up one or two runs. Our batters can't put up one. They finish with zero. Then when our batters put up six, seven runs, our pitchers give up seven, eight, nine runs. So I just wish everybody could get on one accord, get this train rolling. They're winning games. They have a winning record. It's only April, so the potential, the ceiling is still there, but I would like for the Tigers to win games that they should win, because again, it's very unfortunate when your pitchers only give up one run, two runs, and you can't manage to give up any, or put up any, should I say. Or with the games when you put up a lot, you're hitting two, three home runs in one game, your pitcher's giving up 10 runs and you can't win. So it's like, can we all get on one accord? That's all I'm asking. Can we all get on one accord, right? I do want to talk about the WNBA, because the draft did take place. Caitlin Clark obviously went number one. We got Camilla, and Angel, who battled it out in the SEC. They're teammates in Chicago. We got We got Cameron Brink, Rekia Jackson out of Detroit. Shout out Detroit. We got Rekia Jackson. They both in LA with the Sparks. So we got these players who would compete against each other a lot in college because they play the same position, all that. Now they're teaming up in the pros. So I love that because now they're rivals and the teammates and things of that nature. So that makes exciting ball, right? Also, with my WNBA take, I miss my fantasy draft, y'all. So if you got a WNBA league you doing this year, please hit me up. And I can make sure I don't miss this draft so I can actually like my team. Because my team, I got, did the whole auto draft thing. I ain't feeling it, man. I ain't feeling it. So if you got a WNBA draft, you're doing fantasy draft, that is, hit me up. I want to be a GM for multiple teams. Hey, football, I did one league for football this past year. But basketball, I did like four. So if you legit want me to be in your basketball, plus in the summer, there's no other fantasy leagues going on. So yeah, I would love, I don't do baseball. So I honestly would love to join another fantasy league for the WNBA. Last thing on the WNBA though, good news and bad news. Prices are going up. Let's start with the league pass. It was what, $20, $25? Now it's $35. I'm trying to be a supporter of the game and I'm glad it's going up, but $35? Went up. That kind of hurt my feelings. Then let's talk the ticket prices. All year long I've been talking about I'm going to Chicago or Indiana to catch a game, and I really want to go to Indiana to catch Caitlin Clark. Have you seen the Chicago Sky versus Indiana Fever prices? In Chicago, $300 to get in. In Indiana, almost $300. Like, yo, again, it's a good thing the league is growing, but can we make it an affordable price for the family? Please. Again, it's good and bad because let me be the first to say, yes, $300 to go to a basketball game is crazy. And I'm not just saying that for the WNBA. It's crazy to pay $300 to go to an NBA game. So don't get it twisted. It's crazy to go to any sporting event for $300 unless it's a playoff game or the Super Bowl at that point, right? That's ridiculous. And $300 better have me some good. If I'm paying $300 to go to a game, I want to dang near be on the court. Put me in a uniform. I want to be on the bench. I want my own locker. I want somebody to bring me a bottle of water. I want a towel. I want all that. Like, I want to be a player at that point, right? So I don't know how to feel about that because I want to go to a game. I'm not paying $300 though, but I also want a good seat. So do I settle for the $15 seats in the nosebleeds? What am I going to see? Or do I, pay my little $300 to sit in a middle of the lower bowl? It's not worth it. So I'm hoping the ticket prices kind of level back out once the season start. I know the Caitlin hype is crazy. Let me say this about Caitlin. Hot take. Hope y'all ready for it because a lot of people not going to like this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. People are saying Caitlin Clark is not the only reason women's basketball is getting so much attention right now. Myself and all of you listening who actually do watch women's basketball, who actually do watch the WNBA and whatnot, I'm not talking about y'all. Because the real fans know that there's other players around, right? But like, to the casuals, all they talked about is Caitlin Clark. So yes, they see her playing when she pulls up from half court like Curry. Yeah, that's attracting because that's how she got me locked in. I seen her pull up from half court and I was like, whoa. I've been a fan since. So to these casual fans, Caitlin Clark is the reason they're watching. Let's not. Hey, I made a whole short about Dawn Staley, so don't do this to me. But I talked about how Dawn Staley should be much more respected, right? But people talk about the South Carolina undefeated championship run is the reason why people watch. Some, that might be the case. Not all. Not even majority. Let's be real here for a second, folks. Did casuals watch because of South Carolina being undefeated, going for their third title? Or did they watch because Caitlin Clark was putting on a incredible season. I think it was because of Caitlin Clark putting on an incredible season. Now, we could blame the media for that again, but let's facts is facts. Also, let's talk about this shoe thing. Everybody know I want to – I'll ride for Asia Wilson, man. Let's get that. I'm a big Aces fan. Again, your boy traveled all the way to Chicago just to catch this team. I don't pay for hotel. I'm driving. Just to catch a game, just to see Asia Wilson in the flesh. Y'all seen the video I posted when she went running to the tunnel? Goes viral.
Every game.
That's me. But yes, Asia Wilson should have a shoe right now. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Caitlin Clark deserves a shoe over Asia Wilson. But let's look at the business aspect of it, right? Because this is where Nike is coming from. Caitlin Clark does deserve a shoe. Caitlin Clark has more social media followers than Asia Wilson. So if we're going off marketability and popularity alone, Caitlin Clark's getting that shoe over Asia Wilson. But this is, boom, let's bring it back around. That's why the WNBA doesn't do as well as it can, because it doesn't market its players the way it should. Asia Wilson should be known to more people than she is. And it's not Asia Wilson's fault, because she got the Ruffles endorsement. She is a Nike athlete. She's a two-time MVP, two-time WNBA champion, finals MVP, that kind of thing. But she has to get more attention from the media so then she can get those followers, get that popularity, and boom, she gets her own shoe. So that's over for that segment. Let's turn it over to the next segment. All right, folks. That's right. Y'all ain't never seen Mondez before. You know, y'all always hear from him. You know, I'll talk about him, but this is your first time seeing him in the flesh. So, Mondez, this is the first time the people seeing you. Say what's up to the people, man.
What's good, YouTube? You know, we have to make it in person, make it visual for you guys. What's good?
So, for those of you who have listened to Buff Those Sports when we were audio only, y'all know Mondez. That's the boxing guy. So, if Mondez is on, that means it's time to talk some boxing. Boxing, I didn't think this topic was going to be as big of a deal on this episode, but here we are, because boxing, always expect the unexpected, man. So, Ryan Garcia, he don't shock the world. He really did. He whooped up Devin Haney, like, a fight, because we was just talking about it before recording, how I don't even think I talked about it on here as much, because I just knew Devin Haney was going, you know, I thought it was going to be an easy win for him. Ryan whooped him bad. He won. He beat Devin Haney, granted. He came in overweight, so the title was off the line, but it don't matter. He still whooped him, and he whooped him bad. As crazy as he whooped him, or as bad as he whooped him, should I say, Ryan did knock him down 3 times. Haney was still in the fight. When we watched it, we said, I honestly might go to a draw or something. And I think when the one judge did have it a draw, that ruffled some people's feathers. But I want to explain to the people that boxing is scored round by round. Let's take that into account. So, it's just like, I like to use the comparison of the NBA with threes. If Golden State hits 20 threes in a game, but the Miami Heat or whatever still get more free throws and more mid-range points or even in the paint points, they're going to win the game, right? Yeah. Tie goes. So, boxing is scored round by round. It's on a point system. Yes, Ryan had more knockdowns, but Devin won the rest of the rounds for the most part that he didn't get knocked down, right? And then just recently with the Parker versus Big Bang fight, Big Bang knocked down Parker twice. But who won? Parker won. So,
it was a pretty easy fight to score, too.
So, yeah, like, you the boxing guy. Do you want to explain to the people why they should take that into account? Or
yeah, the fight was actually a tough fight to score, but at the same time, it wasn't. In the grand scheme of things, it was pretty tough. Because, like, how can Devin have such a close fight even though he got knocked down 3 times? But he won consecutive rounds. I say probably from, like, 2 to until he got dropped. When he get dropped, 7? 7 rounds. So that's 6 rounds in the bank right there. So it was a close fight. Ryan finished strong, and that's what got him the victory.
I mean, yeah, and then continue. Let's talk about Ryan for a second. You're only as good as your last fight. That's something you said. That's something you said to me after the fight, and it correlated, because I said that is the most realest thing when it comes to boxing.
See, in boxing, it's sad, but you being as good as your last fight is one of the truest statements. Because after the Loma fight, what was we saying about Devin?
We said he was up there.
Ooh, it was too close. No, after the Loma fight, it was too close.
Yeah.
He got hit by too many left hands. If that was Tank, if that was Shakur, this, and a third. And then, boom, had a career performance against Regis. And now he the best. Now he the best at 140. The king of the division. Nobody can beat him, especially a dude who just never even fought a top dude in the weight class. He just got knocked out by Tank. No way. Boom, he lose. Devin need a new trainer. Devin, Ryan this, Ryan that. So, us boxing fans got to have a broader perspective. This is boxing, the hurt business. Anybody can get it. Anybody can get it. And Ryan was never an underdog in his mind. They fought too many times to be an underdog. In the boxing ring, who's favorite, none of that matters. So it all came down to the experience. They both was elite amateurs. It's just box. It's a lot that goes into boxing that a lot of people don't see.
But now I would ask you, now this is going to hurt your feelings, because I know how big of a Devin Haney fan you are, but which beating was worse? Crawford, the way he whooped up on Spence, or Ryan, the way he whooped up on Devin?
There's not even a debate. The way Crawford got whooped was actually, the way Spence got whooped by Crawford was actually hard to watch, even for a person that not the biggest Crawford or Spence fan. That was bad. From round two, he was doing the stinky leg. From round two, at least Devin got up and regained. Yeah, and he won rounds. That was a competitive fight. And to be fair, Ryan was pacing himself. You could tell he was only going after it in different rounds. But still, start to finish, we all knew who won that fight. And Crawford honestly could have stopped it earlier, if we be honest. He really dragged him to the ninth round, gave the people a show. But yeah, the Crawford fight for sure.
But it just, once again, Devin Haney is another fighter who was undefeated for a very long time. And he finally took that first loss. So now I want to ask you, again, we just talked about how there's really no undefeated boxers outside of what, Rocky Marciano and Floyd Mayweather. Who's the most unbeatable boxer in fighting? I'm not saying they got undefeated records at the moment. I'm saying you can never see this fighter losing because they just that skilled.
That's a tough question, because seeing all these undefeated dudes and seeing them losing, like the Fulton, the even Tyson Fury almost losing to the what's his name, Francis? Yeah, all that is boxing. Getting in there with another man on a professional level, at the highest level, anything could happen. But the only person I can think of right now in his weight class, I cannot see him losing. If I had to bet my life, Noyo anyway. That's a bad brother right there. That's a bad brother right there. Even though he is kind of small for his weight class, and if he keep moving up, it is some dudes that will give him trouble. But seeing him lose, I don't see how it would happen. He got the power. He got the speed. And another dude, he don't got the resume to back this statement up, but I think Boots can be one of them dudes. I don't see nobody in the welterweight division right now beating him. And I'm not going to count Crawford because he moving up to fight at 154. But right now, 147 and under, nobody's beating him.
I mean, when it comes to Boots, everybody is scared of him.
Yeah.
Like, what I was about to say, when Ryan Garcia daddy was talking so much smack after that fight, soon as Eddie Hearn mentioned the name Boots, I'm sorry. Look, shaking his head, I'm sorry. I'm like, dog. You ain't never known a boxer to put that much fear into people in a minute. Like, just the mention of their name put people, like, make them stop in their tracks type deal.
Yeah.
But I do agree with your answer. I think anyway, the only one. I don't even think Crawford is unbeatable.
Yeah.
Tank, I don't think he's unbeatable. I see where you're going with Boots. I want to see more from him because Boots, now we got, like you said, resume. Boots is scared. Like, people scared of him, and it's not his fault that he doesn't have the resume. But at some point, he got to have it, right? There's a lot of good fights coming up. So, yeah, we going to – you'll hear more boxing from us. But anything you got to say before you get out of here, man?
Excellent. Keep tuning in to boxing. His Excellency, he's making the fights happen. Big card, Crawford, he coming back. The Bivol card, he got Wilder on the same – on the undercard. Get some big punchers. So, yeah, boxing turned up this year. I thought last year was good. This might top last year. No cap. And I think that the fights – last year was a lot of big fights. But, like, the hardcore boxing fans, this is the fights that we want to see. Like, the people that's not too big, but still we know they got skills. These are the fights that we want to see. So, shout out to him. And I just love to see the promoters actually working together. Yeah. That's all.
Right on, man. Glad you made your YouTube debut, Buffed Up Sports. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, they already know who you are, as least as your voice. You know, they heard that before, but now they get to see you. So, no, I'm glad you came on, man. Appreciate it. All right, y'all. You're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the next segment. Y'all, I got my cousin Jeff on right now. Jeff, say what's up to the people, man.
What up, though? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, glad to have you on. You know, this actually your, what, second time being on, right? And then for those who don't know, Jeff is on the theme song of the podcast. So, yeah, yeah. You want the people to call you Jeff, Mees? What we going by today?
You can call me Jeff. You can call me Mees. It's all good. You know, just keep supporting. This all Detroit love. Born and bred. Still keeping it the same. You feel me?
There it is. So, you know, I had to get you on because, like you said, it's been a minute since you've been on. This is your second time being on here. But we got to talk about some good and bad of our Detroit sports teams. We got to talk about the bad when it comes with the Pistons. And we got to talk about the good with the Lions because some exciting things with the Lions going down. So, yeah. Hey, so let's start bad so then we can work our way up to the positivity. You know, we want to end on good vibes here. The Pistons, man. I guess the bad news is the season. There you go. Chauncey, we took them days for granted. We took them days for granted. But no, so like, I guess the bad news would be it wasn't a great season at all. The good news would be the season is finally over. But now that the season is over, many big changes needs to happen with the Pistons, no doubt about it, whether it's player movement, coaching movement, front office movement. I guess the first big thing would be, what do you do with Troy Weaver and what do you do with Monty Williams?
For me, let's start with Monty. I know a lot of people didn't like some of the decisions that he made throughout the year, but hey, this was his first crack at this roster, this lineup, and he had to figure some things out. Some of it was out of his control, you know, with injuries and things of that nature, but at the end of the day, this was his first year, and we have seen him in scenarios like Phoenix where he took a roster and it was bad that, you know, that first year in year one, but was able to turn them around and they were competing in the West. So, as far as Monty is concerned, for me, even from a financial standpoint, I mean, we done paid him some money, I believe, in return on our investment. So I think we give him another crack at it. As far as Troy Weaver is concerned, I think he should be out of here. Everybody look in the mirror. If you have a job or whatnot, if you were bad for as many years as Troy Weaver has been, would you still have your job? And is no offense to him, it's just what it is. There's other teams that were, we'll say the word bad, but they use the word rebuilding. There's other teams that have been rebuilding at the same time the Pistons were, and they're in the playoffs right now. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, we didn't get here overnight, even though we expected to change overnight too. But, hey, we got a top draft pick coming. Hopefully, we'll get the number one pick and get the pick from whoever it is we want, because we saw the NBA screw us out of Wimby. And let me go on record and say this. Thompson, we love you. We love you to death. Trust me. We do. But everybody's lying if they say they wouldn't want Wimby. Had Wimby been on this team this year with Cade, him, Duren, that to me was enough. And Duren got a lot to show too. Duren needs to play better defense. But hey, he had at 19 years old having 20-20 games, that just don't happen. It has to be some dog in him to be able to do that. So had we had Wimby, I do believe we would have been in the playoffs this year. I do believe that the season would have been differently. When it went differently, I do believe that when the trade deadline came, we would have been more players to like, all right, let's go grab this piece. You know, I think Bogdanović probably would have still been on the team possibly because he has that shooting touch, you know. So anyway, I think all I'm saying is, guess what? We're not knocking Troy Weaver. Somehow he found a way to be in the league as long as he has. But what I'm saying is, hey, he may not be that bad, just like you. You as a person may not be that bad. And if somebody else came and helped you out, they'd be like, oh, look, he wasn't that bad. He just needed a little help. Because sometimes we don't see the things that others see. So I think personally, as a man, Troy Weaver, if he want to keep his job, he should ask for some help. Like, hey, man, take ownership. Troy Weaver, if he's not out of here, I do believe we need to go elsewhere. I do believe, like, I like structure like Miami, pick somebody out of their organization, you know, because even after Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Bosch, they found a way to still be relevant, you know.
I'm glad we get a new team president to make those final decisions. And you kind of talked about Miami. I believe Shane Battier is he's in Miami's front office, you know, went to Country Day, right? Yeah, so I was like, I wouldn't mind him coming home to help out. Another name I wouldn't mind coming home, Tayshaun Prince. You know, he's worked his way up with the Memphis Grizzlies. I know he started as a assistant or something. Now he's like the vice president of basketball ops or something like that. So those two guys with Detroit / Pistons roots, who I would not mind looking at. I mean, do you have an opinion on?
You know, I personally, either of them, I think, would be an upgrade, a new form of energy to our organization. Both of them have ties to the organization. And what I mean by that is they both been around the block. Shane is from here. Tayshaun played here. But, you know, Shane's reputation, you know, it moves throughout the NBA. He's one of those guys that, you know, there is probably no person in the NBA that in the front offices and things of that nature that when you say Shane Battier that don't know Shane Battier. Everybody knows who Tayshaun is from his playing days and even the moves that he's making in Memphis now. And let's even talk about the teams, the way they constructed them. And if they were not the ones pulling the trigger for players, they're around it and they see it. It's a culture thing, you know. We had a culture years ago, you know, with the going to work Pistons. That's who we are as a city. That's who we are as a team. Guess what? We don't have beaches. Okay. We got Belle Isle Beach, but that's not Miami Beach. You know, that's not California. We don't have beautiful weather. I take that back. Some days in the summer, Detroit is pretty gorgeous, you feel me? But we're talking that climate that brings all the free agents. You know, Detroit ain't that. You know, it's gritty, it's grimy. Mm-hmm. This is just us, you know what I'm saying? And I'm rooting for everybody from Detroit. But anyway, so it takes a special person to be in that front office. So, and I say that about Tayshaun. He knows what it is. I say that about Shane. He grew up here. It takes a special person to come here to construct a team. Joe Dumars did it. He was part of the organization. This owner we have, he ain't he spends more time in California, I think, than here. What kind of owner does that, you know? So, you know, wouldn't it be great, like, to have an owner that was here all the time? And we keep bringing up the Lions, but it's great to see Sheila, Miss Hamp, be around, you know, to see the players, speak to the players when it ain't game day, you know, when it ain't time to receive all the accolades. She was around, you know, and Gores doesn't, I mean, it's easy to throw money around and say, oh, we the Pistons, we this, but we're different than money, you know. A lot of us don't have it. We don't come from it. We hustle, we grind. That's who we are. So I think Tayshaun Prince, I think Shane Battier would be two great candidates to be a part of our organization. If not the GM, at least hire them to be an assistant GM. You know,
it's definitely time for some kind of change. Even talking about Memphis, they're not in the playoffs this year because, I mean, Ja got hurt. But before Ja got hurt, let's look at the transformation of Memphis. Which, again, goes back to Tayshaun. You talked about Miami. LeBron and D-Wade and Bosh, all them left. Miami still stayed consistent. So, I hate saying this every year, but I feel like this is a big offseason for the Pistons. And I just want us to stop saying that every year because you keep thinking it can't get any worse, and then it gets worse. Because, like, if it gets any worse than, what, 14 games we won this year? We're looking at NBA records at this point. So we won 14 games. We can't get any worse because, like I said, at that point, you're staring down NBA records. In fact, I think this past season was the worst record in franchise history. So, exactly. If it wasn't, it had to been close. So, I just – if we look back, got the 0-14, you know – Chauncey, you know, guys who won rings, even the guys before that, the Bad Boys. Detroit has seen winning teams, and just to be in this at the bottom of the barrel situation we've been in for, what, the last, like, 15 now, it ain't fun, man. But I'm glad we got the negative out the way with that Detroit team because, hold on, y'all. Make a little adjustment here real quick. Gotta talk a little more positivity here with a team we have all come to love, whether you did it before or not, you know. We got the Lions. It's been a long time, and the Lions, even when I couldn't think the Lions couldn't get more exciting, even in the offseason, they make things exciting. You know, we've done the whole free agency moves, drafts coming up. We'll talk about that in a second, but you know what I really was looking forward to? These new jerseys they was talking about. And last episode, I just came on here saying how I wanted the black jerseys to come back. And boy, did they come back. And they look even better than the originals. We still got the traditional blue jerseys, the traditional away white jerseys. I'm loving these Lions jerseys. How you feeling about them? Like, if you had to pick a favorite, which one you going with?
Well, if I had to pick a favorite, it's going to be the black. I mean, you see, I'm dressed in it. That's you know, black and blue is my favorite colors. But, you know, it was great to see the black ones come back. I think that, you know, they're new, but it's still a little bit of the past in it. So it's kind of like, you know, we haven't forgotten where we come from, but this is the new Lions. I look forward to this has all been great for me because I'm in the process of moving here from Louisiana. You know, the wife and the kids, they still down in Louisiana right now. But, you know, this whole year for us, the Wolverines winning, the Lions winning, you know, the Pistons losing. It's just been a whirlwind of different emotions with sports right now. But with the Lions, it was different. You know, Michigan is Michigan. And it was great that we broke through. I lived in SEC country, so that's all I heard about all the time. But it's so many people that ragged on the Lions everywhere I went. You know, Michigan was still Michigan. That Block M, it didn't matter whether they won, they lost. Everybody knew Michigan, you know. I had people in Louisiana when I wore this hat, or it wasn't this hat, it was a different Lions hat, they didn't even know who that was. Mm-hmm. They was like, they sell hats for the Lions, you know, being a true Detroiter. And people said, what team is that, you know? And they found out this year because something happened. Something changed. The Lions changed, you know.
I mean, I don't feel like nothing else got to be said after all that.
Look at him now.
No, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, hey, for a lot of us, this is our first time seeing a Lions team like this in our lifetime. And like you said, true Lions fans, they know what it's like. You wore Lions gear, you got laughed at. Yep. You know, are you wearing the sark? You know, yep. Just that whole thing. And then in this past year, though, if you wore Lions gear, now people are starting to, okay, I see you. I will go to class at Eastern. Let it be a Lions game day. Oh, I'll never forget what between the two primetime games we had during the week, which was opening night versus Kansas City, and then the Monday night game versus the Raiders this past year. Both of those days, I was on campus. Everybody was decked out in Lions gear. You never seen that before. You never seen everybody wearing Lions gear. You would be scared to put on Lions gear half the time. And now you got everybody around you wearing it. The Lions, NFC championship game, the watch party. They sold out four field for a watch party. The game ain't even happening. They don't sold out the watch party. You ain't never sold out a watch party to watch no Lions. It'd be hard enough to watch Lions on a Sunday on your church. You know what I'm saying? So the fact we was able to sell out a whole stadium for that shows you how much it changed. I'm glad these new jerseys are coming in with this change, because it's like a physical, you know, physical sign of the change. And like you said, they brought the black back. Everybody wanted that. I like the new jerseys, how they took the old ones, the Barry Sanders era, and modernized them. You know, like we still appreciate the legends before us, but now it's a new culture coming in. This is not the same old Lions. This is the brand new Lions. So I just love everything about it. It came at a perfect time. I even love the story. I don't know if you heard this about the black jerseys, with Dan Campbell had asked for them, because Dan Campbell used to play on the Lions. He wore those black jerseys back in the day. So he said when he got to Detroit, he said, can we bring them black jerseys back? And the president, Ron Wood, he had said, when y'all win a division. So you see what happened. They won a division. The jerseys back. So
as we talk about these Lions, this is something, and this is not even about players on the field. I also want to point out how the issues we had, how Barry Sanders wouldn't come around. Calvin Johnson, they was, you know, the former regime wouldn't give him his money. Look at who's around the facility. Last year, guys got drafted. When they walked into the facility, who greeted them? Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
I'm glad the Lions fixed those relationships with those legends, because I think that was also part of what needed to happen in order for us to go from being such a poverty team to the team we are now. Even doing right by Stafford, I think, helped. Like, if there is a curse out there, which I'm sure at this point it might just be one, because, man, has it been a lot of losing. But we finally did right by Barry. We did right by Calvin. Granted, we should have did right by them during their playing careers, but okay, life happens. We finally got back on good terms. And then, like I said, we did right by Stafford. Instead of holding on to him, we let him go flap his wings. He won a ring as soon as we let him go. Can't even be mad at it. You know, like you said, good for him. And then we keep talking about this draft. I mean, of course, the NFL draft is in Detroit this year. I mean, time you're listening to this, it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. Downtown will be jumping. So if you're going, plan to get there early. It is free. Just go on the NFL app, on NFL.com, that thing of that nature. You know, get a QR code, boom, you in for free. To all y'all going down there, you know, I'm going to talk to all my cousins for a minute. Don't y'all go down there messing it up, because they locking you up. This is Detroit's best chance to show off. You know, it's no secret of the reputation the city has right now. This is a great chance to show off how great it has, you know, come, and that it's not the reputation you think it is. It's actually a beautiful city to go to. Our downtown is actually fun. This is a great opportunity, a great chance, probably our biggest chance to show off our city and whatnot. I just ask y'all, don't go down there messing it up. Don't mess it up for the rest of us, because I'm actually looking forward to it. I actually be at the draft. Are you going to the draft, or do you have any draft plans? And
no, I'm not going to make it, unfortunately, and it's pretty terrible, but, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for us to have that here, but unfortunately, I'm not in a position to do that at the moment, but my brother, he's flying up. He'll be here. I don't know how many of my other family members and things like that going to go, but just want to piggyback on what he's saying. Listen, guys, we bigger than the media, so don't let, you know, the media, they try to steer these thoughts about us, and hey, this is not a black or a white thing. This is a Detroit thing and a surrounding area thing. So this is our an opportunity for us to be in the national spotlight, and let's put a good show on for them. Let's let them see, hey, this is one of the greatest cities in America. Always has been. It's just, you know, little things went left here and there, and the media decides to publicize what they want to publicize. But all eyes gonna be on us Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let's make sure we put a good foot forward and make good decisions. All it takes is one bad decision to ruin it for everybody. So yeah, come down, be safe, enjoy, have fun, and root our Lions on, man. Our newest incoming players to this new culture, because they're gonna get the experience.
All right, so Lions fans, y'all got it. Trust in Brad Holmes this week. Thursday is officially Honolulu Blue Day in Detroit. So if you got your Lions gear, wear it. Because again, like we said, we got to show this, you know, show these people coming to visit the city what we are about, but also show them that we ride for our Lions. So that being said, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you got to talk some sports with me. You know, talk some, you know, we went through the downs of the Pistons. I mean, but hey, like we said, we going to rep no matter what. We repping no matter what. They laughed at us for wearing the Lions gear, you know. Now we wear it all, you know. So, hey, win or lose, we riding with the teams. Y'all can love it. Y'all can hate it. It ain't going to change what we going to do, because that's just the way we do. But –